I'm going to start off by telling you this morning is probably one of the hardest classes to grasp the concept of what I'm saying. It's not that it's a hard concept. It's just that my spoken word doesn't necessarily cover it. There's visuals that you need to be able to see, and some of it will be kind of small. I'll try and blow them up so that you can see them pretty well. They will be on the handouts that you're receiving right now. And even one of those is rather hard to read, very small print. And that's the condensed version. So this morning is going to be, I'm going to be going back and forth between the handouts and the thing up on the screen here and just trying to describe some things to you. But for those that are sitting in the back, I don't know, maybe you want to move up front, maybe you don't. You don't need to, but to be able to see this thing up front, you probably will. Well, today is the seventh week. I've got this week and next week will be about budgeting, and then I'll be talking about credit cards and their proper use and their pitfalls. And then the last week I throw in a class really about savings and investments. It's just a very basic class because we have an advanced economics course that then talks about things like life insurance and retirement and things like that. That's a different class. The first handout you have, if you look up on the visual, the overhead up front, that's the first handout that you have, okay? Not the one that's got blue and red and green in it. But this one is really, I brought this up last week, I talked about this style of budgeting. And if you, just to recover for anybody that maybe wasn't here last week, the method of budgeting that I prefer, I really prefer it over any other method, is what's called this net spendable income method of budgeting. And what it does is it takes your income and figures out what's called the NSI, or the net spendable income, which is what is left after your giving to the Lord and after taxes. Okay, I budget off of that money rather than budgeting off of gross income, or because the tithes and the taxes are things that are not negotiable, basically. You need to be doing those things. Uncle Sam will take his, and so will God, in one way or the other, by the way. But the money that's left over after you pay your tithe and your taxes is what I'm going to talk about as this net spendable income. Or when I get to the other budget, I'll talk about a working capital or basically your spendable money. Okay. Now, this first handout, which is what's up on the screen, is what I talked about last week. And the only reason I show it to you again today, one, is because I promised you last week that I would give you a copy. And number two, right in the middle of the page is a column that shows suggested percentages. Again, these aren't set in stone. If you remember, I gave you I showed you yesterday, or yesterday, last week, a different budget program that somebody wrote that shows different amounts for budgeting loss, for housing, for food, for auto, things like that, depending on if you were a single person or if you're married or if you had children or all those things, because obviously the percentages change based on your income and your family situation. But this is just a general way of budgeting. This is what most people think of when they look at budgeting. They will think of, well, I'm going to figure out what I make in a month and what I spend in a month. I'm going to tell you, as this class goes on, that that's not a really effective way of budgeting. I prefer a different way of budgeting. This works for some people, but not for all. What you might want to do as I go through another example here is I've done a different example on the same form with just a different person, different income level, things like that, okay? So I've made up a scenario here, just a person, and because I often use examples of my own life, because that's obviously what I know best, and I always talk about myself, who I'm married and I have four children, and I realize that not everybody in the class has the same situation. So the person I made up, I just made up somebody that makes $20,000 a year and they're a single person. Okay, that's it. Now what I'm going to do is switch from this one to the person I just described to you. Okay, you see up here a gross income of $20,000. Notice I have up here tithing, and I have in parentheses not really, because this person is a person that goes to church, but it's somebody who just drops $5 in the collection plate a week. That's not a tithe. They're giving $5 a week. And their taxes work out to about the 15% range, okay? So basically, if you then look at the rest of the form, which I filled out, they have a net spendable income of about $16,700 after that, quote, tithe, after the $5 a week and the taxes that they got to pay. Okay. Now, this is different. That's where I said what you might want to do is write in these numbers, because what I'm going to do for the rest of today and next week is use the same person as an example. Okay. Let me describe this person, not the person, but their financial situation to you. This person is a single person, does not have any children. I already mentioned the person makes $20,000 a year. They have to pay about 15% in taxes. That's income taxes, by the way. Property taxes are a different issue. So their take-home pay, their net spendable income, is about $327 a month. I said they give $5 a week in a tithe, and every once in a while I also said, well, this person also gives $5 or so a month to the benevolence fund. They have about $2,000 in credit card debt. Again, this is just a person I made up. It's nobody in particular. You don't know it. This isn't a real person. It's just to make some examples. So they have credit card debt of about $2,000, and they've decided that they can pay about $50 a month on their credit card. The person spends $40 a week on groceries, $30 a month on clothes or shoes, $450 a month on rent. Again, I just picked somebody that is a renter this time instead of, like, I used my own example of having a mortgage. This person rents, okay, for $450 a month. They spend $100 a month on gas. That's for heating, hot water, cooking, that kind of thing. $100 a month on electric, $200 a month on water, $40 a month on their telephone, $20 a week in gasoline for the car, $30 every other month for car maintenance. That's oil changes and small repairs, that kind of thing. $45 once per year for their inspection and registration. That's New York State mandated things. I also even put on here they spend $1.25 a week on tolls. Now, I made this up a couple years ago when the Lackawanna tolls from here to Lackawanna was, if you got on Hamburg, got off on Lackawanna, it was 25 cents, so I figured five times a week. Anyways, so $1.25 a week on tolls. $200 every quarter for their car insurance. $25 once every few months for doctor or dentist visits. They have decent insurance, this particular person. I just made that up. $20 a month for a prescription drug. This person, I just said, well, maybe they have need a particular allergy medication or something, and they spend $20 a month on their insurance. They also have a cell phone that they spend $40 a month on. They spend $15 a week in restaurant, or what this person does, I decided, was they go out once a week with their friends for some pizza or something like that, okay? And this person is a stamp collector and spends $15 a month on that hobby. And this person is also a generous person and spends $300 a year on Christmas gifts for friends and family. And what they've decided to do is to save, which is common with what they call Christmas funds, you know. They save every month, all year long, for this $300 for Christmas. They're going to buy Christmas gifts. All right, if you take all that information, I just listed off a bunch of numbers, which is kind of boring, I understand, and you fit it into this format, this particular kind of budget, okay, what you see up here is for their housing. Now, housing isn't just the rent. I told you $450 a month. Housing in this case was the rent, the gas, the electric, the water, the utilities, okay, things like that, everything that I mentioned. For food, I said $40 a week, $160 a month. For auto, I included things. This person doesn't have a car payment, so this person's in good shape that way. But they spend $20 a week on gasoline, as I said, $30 every other month for maintenance. They got to register and inspect their car. And I also threw into this number, I told you, $1.25 for the tolls a week. Okay, so that's what's in that number. So all I did is I took these numbers that I just gave you, that big long list of numbers, and I just fit them into this budget. Okay. What I then did is I calculated what their monthly amount would be, because some of them were every week, some were every month, some were every quarter. So when you do monthly budgeting, what everybody does is they take that number, figure out what they spend in a year, and divide it by 12. That's what I did up here. Okay. And then figured out the percentages. And the only reason I wanted to do that in this case was because if you remember last week when I was talking about this net spendable income method of budgeting, I told you that if, I think it says that on the top of the one handout, the last sentence, if, this is for housing, food, and auto, if these three combined percentages exceed 70% of your net spendable income, then it will be almost impossible to have a balanced budget. You won't be able to fit the rest of your expenses into your income level. Well, notice what this is. That's 69.8, all right, or right around there. I'm an engineer. I need a calculator to do math. That's 69.8. So this person, as we say in the just the terminology that's used, this person is living right at the edge of their means. Okay, this person fit the budget together. This actually works. But they're right at that edge of the housing, food, and auto being 70% of what their expenses are each month, okay? Now, there's a couple other things I wanted to mention about this, just to make things clear. You notice here, I mean, I already talked about these things. Everything I told you is here's what it is on a monthly basis. But for what I did here, I put in $25 a month to get up to the $300 at Christmas time I told you that they spend. I put it in the savings category in this budget, but it's not really savings because they spend it every year. They save up at the end of the year and it's gone. Okay, so it's not going into a savings account and building up over time. And I said this person doesn't have any children. The next line, which you can't see at the moment, says investments. They're not saving anything either. Okay. Let me scroll down so I can show you that. And notice too, what I did in this case, since there wasn't a category for a cell phone, I put miscellaneous cell phone. There's the $40 a month for the cell phone. Okay. Now this person at least has an idea of what they're spending on a monthly basis and what percentage of their income is going towards those things. In this case, because this person is making $20,000 a year, and obviously you have to pay a reasonable rent. I mean, you can't, maybe if you're lucky, you can find somebody that'll give you rent for $100 a month, but not very likely. $450, I don't rent. I haven't rented for years, but those of you that do, maybe that's reasonable for a single, you know, one-bedroom apartment. I don't know. I did some research, and that's where I came up with these numbers anyway. But if you roll down here, I did the math for you. Whoop. Sorry about that. Am I still on? Good. Okay, just almost yanked the cord out there. Sorry about that. So if you do the math there, the total of what this person is budgeting every month is $1,288.75 a month. Okay? Great news, right? This person, remember their annual or their monthly expenses, the total net spendable income or that they had available to them was $1,395.33 a month, which is $106.58 a month extra, left over. So this person says, great, I'm in good shape. I can save $100 a month. As a matter of fact, based on this budget system, this person, and I'll show you in the next example, decided that, well, look, it's November now. If I save $100 a month, by July, I'll have another $700. I'm going to spend $500 of that and go on a trip to visit my friend out in California. A few $100 for airfare, a couple $100 for whatever this person's going to do out there. Okay, I'll pick up on the example later. But there's a reason I wanted to show you this, because this method of budgeting doesn't give you the finite control of your finances. You don't really know what's happening. You think if you did this budget that this person would be in good shape financially. Yes, they're not saving any money. They're not putting away for future things. But look what happens. I've also made some real-world kind of examples. It's November now. January, guess what? Rent's going up $50 a month. That happens, doesn't it, for those of you that rent it? Happened to me several times when I was renting. Gasoline prices fluctuate, don't they? Maybe it's not going to be $20 a month or $20 a week for gas. Natural gas fluctuates for the heating and everything. That went up quite a bit last year. And I mentioned they're not saving anything. And by the way, this credit card debt this person has, this $2,000 in credit card debt, I'll say it this way, only $2,000 in credit card debt, doesn't sound so bad, will pay at $50 a month, will take 4 years to pay that off. Now, looking at this method of budgeting, this person doesn't have any idea that they're in trouble. They also don't know what the effect of things like, well, you know, I expect to get a raise next year. What's that going to do? This person has to go in and recalculate everything, which is not a big deal. They also don't know what the effect of this increase in their rent is. They can go and figure that all out. And if you do all that, and this person's got an extra $100 a month, and they might be thinking that they're in good shape, but if you figure out those things that I just mentioned, gas prices going up, gasoline's going up, your rent's going up, that'll eat up $100 a month pretty quick. And this person doesn't have any way other than just refiguring these general totals how to deal with that in their budget. Okay? That's what I don't like about monthly budgeting. It gives you kind of a general picture, but it doesn't give you any control or any guidance on what to do. Now, if you switch to the other handout that I gave to you, there's something I want you to notice. Let me describe this for to you first. I'll put it up here, and I think that's at least the colored letters are big enough to for you to read. What I've done with this budget, this is the budget that I use, okay? This isn't anything that I download off. This is just something that I put together. For those of you that are computer people and know how to use Microsoft Excel, you're welcome to a copy of it. I'll give it to you on CD or whatever. As a matter of fact, I believe we're going to post it up on the website. I've given Brother Frank copies of these programs, all of the slides and all the handouts and everything electronically. So eventually you'll be able to download those off the website at fbbc.com. What this is just in my experience in budgeting, just a method that ended up working very well for me. I like Excel because it does all the math for me. You know, you put in some simple formulas and it does all the adding and those things for you. And you can make change and it automatically updates it for you. I don't have to re-add everything, it does it. So anyways, notice just along the left-hand side, the column there is where it says income. Okay, what I've done is I've broken that up into two areas. One is from the Lord, okay? Now I say, just have some suggestions in there. One's the paycheck. And in this case, I put in my net amount there. One is Social Security income, if you have that, retirement income, gifts from others, investment income, and any other source of income you might have. If you have an apartment or a house that you rent out, that's a source of income. You can put that in there. And then under that, I just have to the Lord, okay? And this is the tithes. Now there, that tithing is calculated off of the gross amount. The benevolence fund, if you give to that, missions, if you give to that, other things, if you give to the fund that we have for the land down the road, for a new bus, whatever it might be, whatever things that you've been led by the Lord to give back to Him. Okay. And the only reason I do those two things first, number one, we're supposed to honor the Lord with our first fruits. Okay. And I use the net amount because that's just a way for me to take taxes out of this calculation. If I put the taxes are already gone, all right. So I just put the net amount in there when I get paid. And obviously, the things that I've already planned, I've already made my faith promise mission, my promise for faith for missions. So I know what that's going to be. I also know what I give to other funds here at the church. So I can put those in and kind of project out what's going to happen to me. Now notice, too, as I go down through this in the columns, there's a column for every week, not every month. I do it every week. There's a reason for that I'll get to in a minute. But just to keep showing you what's in here, the expenses now, I just colored those in red on your handout. The expenses here, I have a category for debt, which is any credit cards. Now, again, you don't have to have a single line on your thing for credit cards. If you have more than one credit card that you have to pay, you can put credit card one, credit card two. You can do whatever you want on this thing and make the categories fit your particular life. But under debt, I have the credit cards, personal loans, unpaid or past due bills, fines or legal settlements that you owe, and it can be anything that you owe money on. There's a category for savings. I put cash in there and investments. the category for food, which is groceries. And now here you got to be a little careful, because here under food I have snacks. These are the kind of things that most of us do here and there. You might be out traveling, visiting family or something, and you're just not going to be somewhere for a meal and you stop and get something. I'm not talking about going out like this person, this example that I'm using, going out every week for pizza. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about food expenses that are kind of necessary, okay? There's a difference between necessary and something that you just want. That's why I have in the category there where it says restaurant, only necessary. And for those that travel in their job, I do that sometimes. I have to eat at a restaurant. I don't really have a choice. So that's what I'm talking about here. The next category is clothing. So you got work clothes, dress clothes, casual clothes, any special occasions, for example. Maybe you're going to be in a wedding somewhere and you got to rent a tux. Well, there's a good example of something you can put in your budget. Okay, you can put a category there for it. For housing, you got your mortgage or your rent, your taxes, your electric, your gas, your water. I even include telephone in this. I consider that a utility. Garbage pickup, home repairs, anything like that that has anything to do with your housing or is based in your house, I just put in that category. I mean, if you don't like the way I have them broken up, you can change them to however you want. For transportation, you'd figure in your car expenses if you have a car loan, gasoline, maintenance, oil changes, whatever, registration, inspection, excuse me, repairs. I put tolls in this particular category for myself. Next category, health, for medical, doctor visits, hospital visits, emergency rooms, whatever, dental and prescriptions that you might have to get. Insurance. This is insurance for your home, or if you're a renter, there's such a thing as renter's insurance, and I do recommend that. There's auto insurance, obviously, and life insurance, which if you have a family, I would also highly recommend. And then there's a miscellaneous category, and some people think this is silly, but what I actually do in my budget, personally, is I do have a miscellaneous category, because we all have miscellaneous expenses, things that you don't expect to come up, but they do. Often they're not huge things, but things that don't fit in any other category. You know, so I'll take an example right now, but it's just a place to put other expenses that come up that aren't in their own section there. All right, now the next section is desires, okay? I mentioned the first section, I put from the Lord and to the Lord. That's why it's its own section. The next section was expenses, things that I have to spend money on. I don't have a choice. Okay, the next section is desires. Now, this is where you might get into arguments with me about what's a desire and what's not. I might have to have, some people need to have a cell phone for their business or something like that. That's different. But under desires, see the first one there, I have a cell phone. A lot of us have cell phones for convenience. That is a desire. That's not because you have to have it. You say, well, I need it for safety. Well, 20 years ago, nobody did. So I'm not bad-mouthing cell phones. I got a cell phone. My wife has a cell phone. One I have through work. I don't pay for it. The other one my wife has that I do pay for. That's a desire. The one I pay for my wife is a desire, okay? Cable TV, internet access, memberships to whatever you might be a member of. This is where entertainment comes in, restaurants for fun or convenience. I mentioned the example that I'm going to use here, a person that goes out with their friends once a week for pizza or something. That goes in this section. That's a desire. You don't have to go out for pizza every week with your friends. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying this is where it goes on the budget. This vacation. I mentioned the person looked at that monthly budget and decided that they could go to California next July because they'll be able to afford it because they're going to have the extra $100 a month. Well, this is where they could put that in. They might drive there. They might fly there. They might have to pay for a hotel or whatever they want to do out there. That's what those categories there are. And then gifts. If you give people birthday gifts or holidays or just because gifts, you know, that's what those categories are for. And by the way, those categories pretty much sum up my entire life. I mean, it might not fit everything that's in yours, but that's all I need in my budget. You might need more or less. Now, I'm going to go down to the bottom here very quickly just to describe a couple features of this budget. And I'm not trying to sell you on this. You can use whatever method you want, but I'm telling you, this works extremely well, and I'll show you in a minute exactly why. What this budget does is every week, you see there's a column for the week. It takes all those categories that I just listed off for you, And it adds them all up, and it says, okay, well, here's my working income for that particular week now, all right? It takes my total expenses for that week and adds them up, and that it puts it in that box there for you. It takes your total desires for that week and adds them up and puts them into that box there. And then the weekend summary, basically, it takes your income minus your expenses minus the things you spend on your desires. And so it basically shows you at the end of the week, what do you have left? All right. So the first week, what you end up with at the end of the first week in this budget ends up being the same as your working capital. But now go to the second week. Say you had $20 left over the first week. Well, it does the same calculations over here, but in this box here, what it does is it takes the results of that week, all of your income, it takes your and subtracts off your expenses and the things you spend on desires for that week, and adds in what you had left over from the last week. It's kind of like the same idea as your checkbook. It's keeping track of where you are. Okay, and that's a very useful number, and there's no way to do that with a monthly budget. What this does is it keeps track of where you are, and I don't use it like a checkbook, but I do compare it to my checkbook because I'm pretty detailed in how I do my budgeting. Everything that I spend, I don't just put in what I expect to spend. As I go along, I then go back in and backfill my budget so I can see if I'm getting off track. There's also another feature that I'm not going to share with you right now. That what it really does is it turns numbers red when things go negative. Okay, when you spend more in a week than you take in, it turns the number red. I also have a thing on here that shows you what's the lowest amount of money that I have anywhere out for the next however far out I budget. So it can tell me, like, okay, there's a week, and it'll show up right on the screen here. There's a week where I'm going to be $100 short. Then I have to look down at my budget and find, where does that happen? Okay, it allows you a little bit more finite control. It allows you to go in and say, okay, look, I know now that I'm going to have a problem in February or whatever it is, and that I can go now and figure out how I'm going to fix that. Again, with a monthly budgeting system, you don't have a way to do that. You just think you've got $106 left over, like this person. And then the last thing that this budget does, if you look way over in the right-hand columns, there's three columns. There's just year-end totals. It takes all of the rows, each of the categories. In this one here I'm going to buy Christmas gifts for my children, okay? So maybe that's a bad example, but it's going to take birthday gifts. I'm going to buy birthday gifts for my children for each of their birthdays, okay? It'll add them up for the entire year and put that total here, okay? It'll calculate what percent of my total expenses am I spending on birthday gifts. And it also calculates, this is just a number that helps me, what percent of that is of my working income for the whole year, okay? They're actually different numbers. So again, it's just a way of getting more information out of your own financial situation. Now I want to go back to the example of this person. I listed off all the things for you earlier, how I decided that this person, they made $20,000 a year, blah, blah, blah. Basically what I did is I took that information, I showed it to you in a monthly format. Now I took the same information, exactly the same, and I put it into my budget spreadsheet here. And what you can see is exactly what I told you. This person, this is after taxes, of course. Their net amount on their taxes is $327 a week. And I just decided this person gets paid once a week. Maybe you don't. If you don't, you'd put the total. I get paid this week and this week. I wouldn't put that there. I would add the two together and put that there and project out what I'm going to get paid. The tithe, I told you this person spends or gives $5 a week. Not really tithing, but that's what they're calling it. And every once in a while, it gives $5 into the missions fund, in this case, I think. So what it does is it says, okay, each week, this is what this person has to work with, okay? So I'm going to scroll down very quickly here and just show you what I've done. See that $50 there? That's the $50 a month for the credit card that this person has to pay. There's the $40 a week for the groceries. There's the $30 a month for clothing or shoes or whatever it might be. $450 a month for rent. There's the gas and electric and the water bill and the phone bill. And $20 here, $20 a week for gasoline for the car. Maintenance on the car and all those things. All I did is all the numbers that I listed off earlier, I plugged them into this budget, okay? Just a weekly budget. This is why, if any of you come to me and ask for help with your budgeting, I will ask you, okay, I need to know what you're spending, and I'll ask you, when are you spending it? I need to know, is your rent due on the 1st of the month, 15th of the month? When is your water bill due? I need to know that. I will ask you, not just tell me what you're going to spend, I need to know when. Because, and I'll show you the outcome of all this, this person ends up, and ignore the fact that this is 04, it's just when I made the spreadsheet, it could be 05 or 06, whatever. This person, I decided that when they decided to start budgeting, they had $40 in their pocket. Okay, so I put that in. That's just an area to start the budget with. And you notice what happens here. The weekend summary, you'll notice there's weeks where this person has more income than they're spending. And there's weeks where this person has more bills than they have income. Does that sound familiar to anybody? All right. If you see the red numbers here, these aren't on your handout, but if you see the red numbers, that is what occurs in the spreadsheet whenever this person is spending more in that week than they brought in that week. Okay. So you notice it happens. This one just runs, what did I do, October, November, December? Yeah. October, November, December on this one. You'll see that red occur several times. This is the person, and maybe this describes you, I don't know your situation, but this is the person that just about every other week is out of money, doesn't have any, can't pay the bills, paying the bills late. This is the same person that I showed you on a monthly budget showed that they had $100 extra a week. Same exact numbers, but it's about cash flow, about when the bills are coming in and when you have to pay them. Big difference in being able to show on a monthly budget that I have $100 left over every month than knowing exactly when I'm short and when I'm not. I'm just going to switch over to 2005. I even put in here, this is the same person. I gave this person this 3% raise for the year. Maybe you don't get a raise every year, but if you get one, hopefully somewhere in that neighborhood. This person still isn't honoring the Lord with a tithe. Same bills. Everything's the same. This is just a continuation of the budget with a 3% raise. And you see what starts happening here. This person starts getting into trouble. If you notice the end of 2004, I probably didn't show you that. See, this number is negative. This means that that person doesn't have any money, period. In fact, they owe money and can't pay it. They probably can't afford whatever it costs, $40. They can't afford to go to the grocery store that week. Notice what happens again. January 2nd week and January 9th week, this person can't afford to go to the grocery store or can't buy gas to get to work. Same situation where this is the same person that I told you that on a monthly budgeting system they had $100 a week or $100 a month extra. They don't. And what happens with this budget is if you follow this all the way through 2005, at the end of 2005 now, after what a year, not quite a year and a half of budgeting, this person ends up, they have an extra 25 cents. Told you they're not saving, they're not getting ahead. Very slowly paying off their credit card, which means they're paying more for whatever they bought than they should. But this other person can, with this budgeting system, go and look at what they're spending their money on. For example, it's kind of nice to know that you can pick anything. See, this person's biggest expenditure looks like it's their housing. See, it's 34% for their rent. This program would allow me to actually, I can add them all like that. If you just highlight them, it adds them up right there. So 54% of their working income is spent on things for the home. It's just a way to look at your finances, okay? Now, I'm just about out of time, which is good because I'm just about done. But what I'm going to do next week, hopefully I made my point here that there's a better system of budgeting than just doing a monthly budget because you don't really know what's happening in your finances. In this kind of budget, I can go and I can change a number and see what its effect is out for however long I want to budget. That's what I'm going to show you next week. And the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to show you what happens with this person when they decide to start honoring the Lord by tithing a full 10% of the growth, rather than the gross income. How they deal with the extra $50 a month in rent. How they deal with savings, paying off their credit card. And what I'm going to do is show you that this person, at $20,000 a year, by a little better budgeting, can not only tithe, pay off their credit cards in 3 years instead of four. They can actually have, after a couple years, have $1,000 put away in a bank. Same income, same bills, just better budgeting. Okay, so that's what I'll show you next week. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we're just thankful again, Lord, for this time. We just pray now for the service coming up. Lord, we pray that you'd fill our pastor with the Holy Ghost, Lord, and give him your power, Lord, to preach to us. Just pray that you'd help us to be changed by the message in this morning's service, Lord. And we pray for those that come in that maybe don't know Christ as Savior, Lord. We just ask that you'd save their soul this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.